If you want backyard chooks, there are plenty of different types to choose from. You can get your eyes at browns and Rhode Island reds and Australorps and Barnevelders, endless variations. But Dr. Gil Stokes in Westbury thought that none of them were quite up to scratch and decided to develop his own breed, which he's called the Quambi Chook. Now, what made you want to develop an entirely new breed?
The old breeds, the old heritage breeds, which were developed really for farms and for production back in the early part of the 20th century, since the 50s, hybrids have come in and saturated the market. People have kept the old hybrids going for beauty. They have poultry shows and show these birds and attempt to come up with the perfect looking bird according to a national standard. And the breeding has led to a deterioration in the productive qualities that these birds were originally developed for. So with my background, I've got an ag science degree, animal nutrition master's and a biochemistry PhD. I love building, so this I identified as a legacy project, something I had the time I could develop to essentially recreate a utility bird, utility meaning eggs and meat, of the kind that was around in the 1930s. So I've spent the last 7 years spending a great deal of time, which this sort of work requires, to develop the sort of bird that was around back then, a purebred, heritage-type utility bird.
So what were the breeds that you started with to kind of recreate something that existed a century ago?
Yeah, well, I started with an English breed, Sussex, and it was the Buff variety of Sussex, and an American breed, New Hampshire, which was developed out of the Rhode Island Red, and I so crossed English and American breeds, and then progressively improved their productive qualities of the offspring, and I'm now up to the sixth generation of these birds, which breed true, lovely looking birds, and very delightful to be around.
Now, you took a very scientific approach to this and to the generations and to the things that you were looking to breed true, etc. One of the things you were looking for was to develop a good egg layer. How did you define a good egg?
Okay, that's an interesting question. It turns out that in a flock of birds, the ones that lay the most eggs tend to lay the smallest eggs, and I was interested in developing a breed that would lay lots of large eggs. So I ended up coming up with a little calculation which said that an extra large egg you buy in Coles or Woolies, about 58 gram, I called that equivalent to one egg, and if the eggs were smaller than that, they were allocated less than one. A bigger egg got a value greater than one. And so I selected on what I call my egg index, which takes account of the fact that I didn't want to simply increase egg production and lose egg size. And these birds now, they're laying 280 to 300 eggs in a year, and the eggs are averaging in their pullet year, they're averaging about 60 grams.
So what does a Quambi Chook look like?
Well, if your listeners are at all aware, they're a large bird. The girls look rather like Buff Sussex hens, except that they're yellow-skinned instead of white, which the English breed is. And the boys look like a very large New Hampshire, except that there's black in their hackles, which are the feathers around the neck. So they look rather like either side of the cross. I started with a male Buff Sussex, and it's the females that look like his line, and the boys look rather like the sons of the girls I started with.
Are they a well-behaved chook? Because if you're going to have them in backyards, you kind of, you know, want chooks that aren't going to fight and are going to get on with each other.
No, well, a comment I often hear about Isa Browns and Highline Browns and the birds that most people have available if they want lots of eggs. These tend to be flighty and easily upset. Likewise, the Mediterranean breeds like Leghorns, they are also very flighty birds. These ones, they are very happy to come around you. They talk an awful lot. A 900 mil fence will hold them in, so that they're not flying around. Yeah, they're just a delightful bird to be around.
Now, you've developed a flock of them, a breeding flock of them. What happens next? If you're developing this, as you say, as a legacy, you want this to go, you know, out into the world and be something that you've done for the good of the world. How are you getting them out into the world?
That's another good one. I through a magazine called Australasian Poultry, I made the public out there interested in chooks aware that I had this breed, and I was looking for people interested to carry on with the work. And I now have breeding flocks, two in Victoria and one in Western Australia. Back a month or two ago, I was included on Gourmet Farmer program, and Matthew Evans came up with a film crew, and as a result of that, I've had over 50 emails requesting fertile eggs, which are now being shipped all over Australia. So every state and territory, people are now getting fertile eggs, and so the breed's gone wild. I've been interviewed by newspapers and such, and yeah, I think the word's out. But I'm now no longer actively involved in developing the breed further. But I'm sort of a mentor to those who have now picked up the cudgel.
You're a Quambi consultant.
Yes.
Look, I guess the final question for someone like me, definitely quite carnivorous, is how do the birds taste?
They taste like the poultry we used to have as kids. I grew up in the 40s, and back then chicken was available at Easter time and Christmas. These birds then had lots of flavour. The shanks were a lot bigger. The breast meat was a lot redder. And that's the kind of meat that these birds now provide. So I've got a butcher, in fact, down in Hobart, who recently bought six of these from me, and frozen, prepared boys. And he remembered what they used to be like. He's now a retired man, and has reported back how absolutely delighted he is with the flavour of these.